Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Nicholas, for reading that scripture. As those of you who attend here regularly know, we've been studying that as our theme for quite a few weeks. And I think this morning we're going to close the door on that. We were actually supposed to begin a new passage for our theme for probably through the end of the year. And that's found in Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9, if you would. And we'll read that together. And I'll tell you what I'm planning on doing this morning. It says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Now, you all know, if you're visiting the first time, you may not, probably don't know, I am not the regular preacher here. We do have a preacher, and some of you are saying, "Oh, good." You know, well, but we do. And Brother Stanley's away. He's usually away the first Sunday of each month, and he goes to various different places helping out. And sometimes he's just, believe it or not, that's Stanley's vacation. Man never takes a vacation, so he visits another church, and that's his vacation. But it's an honor to step in and try to preach the word when I get opportunity. If you're visiting with us, I'm so glad to have you here. And we do try our very best to be the church that we read about in the New Testament. It is our desire to be that church that was established by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what we work for. Now, this passage that I just read, well, if you'd like to go to Colossians 3, we'll be looking at verses 12 through 17. The passage that I just read has to do with thinking. And I did not plan this lesson to be around our theme this morning. I thought I would hold off and let Stanley introduce that, which he will. But as I began to study this lesson, I began to realize it is connected to how we think. And you'll be able to see that as we go along. And the reason is this morning, beginning the first Sunday in November, also beginning the month in which our nation celebrates the holiday we call Thanksgiving, I thought I'd like to say a few words this morning about that. And so let's read together. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Now, the spirit of thanksgiving or giving thanks did not originate in our country. I think some of us think that the United States of America invented giving thanks. Well, we did not. But the idea of having a Thanksgiving Day pretty much did began here. Now, I didn't go into the history of it a lot, but I believe Abraham Lincoln was the first president to proclaim it as an annual day, but it was celebrated previous to that, and presidents since him have all supported the idea of a Thanksgiving Day. However, the spirit of Thanksgiving is as old as man himself. In fact, God created us to be a Thanksgiving people. He created us to be people of gratitude. I think Adam and Eve, when we read, we could see they appreciated the garden that God put them in. And Noah, when he stepped forth from the ark and he built an altar of praise and thanksgiving. And Abraham was thankful for God's many promises that he gave to him. And so am I thankful for those promises. They sure do affect us today. And he was thankful to God for sparing his son Isaac as well. And Moses commanded the son of Levi to stand every morning and evening thanking and praising God before the people. That's found in 1 Chronicles 24 or 23:30. Now just look around you and think a little bit. Who are the happiest people, the most joyous, contented, fulfilled people you know? Think of the people that you know, that you see in your lives and surround it. And think about the people that, in your estimation, seem to have it all together. It seems like there are some people that their cups are always full. They're always overflowing, regardless of what situation or circumstances that they find themselves. It just occurred to me. I've had occasion once in a while to visit folk who were in the hospital. And sometimes they're in the hospital because they're dying. I don't know if you've ever had that, and you visit folks like that. And so your idea is to go there and be of service to them and support them and cheer them up. But on more than one occasion, it kind of worked the other way around. They cheered me up. You ever meet people like that? It doesn't matter the circumstances in which they're living, they're full. They're full of love. They're full of God's grace, and they're full of thanksgiving. And so that's an example to us. Now, what common denominator do these kinds of people have? What do we find in their lives that are the same? And you know what it is. They're thankful. They're thankful people. Despite what may be happening to them or around them, they are happy, they are contented, and they're thankful to God. Amen. Now try this. This happens to us all the time. You walk up to someone and they say, "How you doing?" Right? All the time. "How you doing?" Now, usually because I think we don't want to get into it, we just say, "Fine. How you doing?" "Fine." Right? But I wonder sometimes what thoughts might go through our heads. And I think sometimes we say "fine" because if we didn't say "fine," we would begin to gripe and complain about the things that are wrong in the world and about the things that are wrong in our lives. And we would begin to feel sorry for ourselves and try to get those who ask us how we're doing to feel sorry for us too. But I think maybe when somebody asks us how we're doing, that our minds ought to be so full of gratitude and thankfulness to God and so full of our counting our blessings that those are the things. "I'm doing great. God has done this." Give God the credit. "God has done this for me. Jesus Christ is my Savior," right? When we relate to others these things, it changes how people view us and it changes how we view ourselves, you know? Amen. I guess what I'm asking is this. It's one of two things. We're either a people of gratitude or we're people of ingratitude. Now, I know as Christians, we like to think that we're a people of gratitude. We like to think that we're people of thankfulness. rather than people of thanklessness. As God's people, we must. And I've been more and more in my life, I've been trying to replace the word should with must, especially when it comes to how we are as God's people. We always talk about what we should do. If we're going to be God's people, we must rise above our circumstances. We need to be different. You know, the world doesn't have to do that. If we don't rise above ourselves and be an example to the world, how do we expect people to want to come to Christ? If they look at us and see the same thing that they see in themselves, what is to attract them to Jesus? Our happiness, it's not circumstantial, is it? It's not situational. Now, understand this, and this is where the thinking comes in. This is where we started, remember? The thinking. It's an attitude that we have. That's what thankfulness is. It's an attitude that we have. Our happiness and how we feel is an attitude. Abraham Lincoln once said, let's don't talk about Abraham yet. I'll get to him later. Let's talk about what Scripture says. That's more important than what Abraham said, right? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Did you hear that? You are what you think. You are. Proverbs 23:7. What we think is what we are. Changing our jobs, changing our house, changing our surroundings. Sometimes we change churches. But you know what we take with us? Our heart. I don't care where you go or what circumstances change. Your heart goes with you, and it doesn't change your heart to go somewhere else. You're the same person, and you think the same thoughts. Don't be waiting. You know, I understand there's a place for waiting. We wait for God sometimes. But what I'm talking about is don't wait for the world. Don't wait for the church to get better. Amen. We spend our lives waiting for things to get better. Well, I'll be okay when this or that happens. No, you won't. You're not going to be okay when this or that happens. Is that what you think? You're waiting for something good to happen. You say, well, I'll be able to be full of thanks when this happens. If you can't be full of thanks now, there's no situation, there's no circumstance that's going to change your heart. That's not going to happen to you. Thankful. Be thankful for who we are. Be thankful for what we are. Be thankful for where we are, and more than anything, be thankful for whose we are, who we belong to. Like Paul, we must learn to be content. Learn, he said. Paul said he learned that. Philippians 4:11 and 12. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content. Whatever the circumstances, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I know I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. Did you notice what Paul says here? In want, in plenty, in every situation, what did he learn? He said, I have learned. What is it that he learned? How to think, right? He learned that it isn't the situation around us, it's what's going on in us. That's what Paul learned. That's the secret. We think if we change circumstances, it's going to be okay. And Paul said, I have learned that it happens in here. That's what makes it okay. Abraham Lincoln, remember? Yeah. We're about as happy as we decide to be. That's what he said. You think about that. You're about as happy as you decide to be. And I think, kind of think sometimes we're about as happy as we want to be. Some people wouldn't know what to do if they were happy, right? Some people pride themselves on being miserable. And you know what? They want you to be miserable with them. Don't go there. Church, if we're going to become a genuine thanksgiving people, we must stop thinking that we'll be able to get there when things are just right. When things are just right. I used to do that when I was young. I was so foolish. I used to think, boy, when I make this much money, it'll be okay, right? And then you have a problem that doesn't have to do with money. And you pray to God, God, get me through this, and then everything will be okay. I can see the older folk out there smiling because they know about this. It never happens, does it? There's one problem, and then there's another problem, and then there's another problem. And if you're waiting for things to be just right, stop. Stop waiting. Stop waiting for your ship to come in. Boy, one of these days, it's going to be good. Stop waiting for your pain to go away. I hope that it does, but don't make your happiness, don't make your thankfulness dependent upon whether the circumstances in your life are what you want them to be. The situation is never going to be perfect. I don't say that so that we can be sad or we can be miserable. We need to be realistic that that's not where our happiness lies. Let's read 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Be joyous always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who are in Christ Jesus. Did you hear that? If you're a child of God, God's command to you is that you be a thankful person. A person of gratitude. We think, well, I can be God's and be however I want up here. No. The children of God are thankful people. If you're not a thankful people, you need to reevaluate whether you're pleasing to God or not. Let's notice now that this heart that we're talking about, this heart, this attitude of thankfulness, let's notice what it can and will do for us. God doesn't command, see, I don't know, I hope Christians know better than this, but I know in the world they don't understand God at all. They think of God as this rule maker that tries to enact rules that keeps them from doing what they want to do. And sometimes I think Christians think of God the same way, that he's just up there being the boss, just to be the boss and make our lives miserable. You know, that's not true at all. God has a reason for everything that he wants us to do and he tells us to do. He has a reason for us to be thankful. And you know what? God doesn't need it. See, that's the thing we don't understand. It isn't for him. It's for us. God designs it all for us. Why be thankful? Why maintain a thankful, giving spirit? Why celebrate Thanksgiving? Okay, first, being thankful refocuses our perspective on life. It really does. When we complain and when we grumble, what's going on? What's happening in us? You ever thought about that? We're focusing where we need not to be focusing. When we're complaining, we're grumbling, we're focusing on what we don't have, what we can't do, what we can't be. I'm going to say it again. Stop that. Knock it off. Refocus. We belong to God. Amen. Secondly, thanksgiving refreshes and softens our hearts. And this is important because when I'm talking about heart, I'm talking about our ability to think and what's going on in here. This is it. This is where it's at. And we must be thankful in order for that heart to be softened. Let's look at Psalms 95, 2 and verse 9. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. It says, harden not your heart, as Israel did in the wilderness. Israel, God was providing them food. He was leading them toward the promised land. He was teaching them his ways, protecting them from their enemies. Their shoes didn't wear out. Did you know that? Their shoes didn't wear out, and their feet didn't swell, and their clothes didn't rot, and their food didn't spoil despite the desert heat. And I'm reading this and I'm thinking, wow, you know what? They weren't thankful. They weren't thankful to God. Now, it's easy to look at them, but you look at this list, and how many of this list, these items on this list apply to us? Isn't God doing most, if not all of that for us? Amen. It's easy to look at the Israelites and say, boy, what's wrong with those folks? What's wrong with us? Where are our thankful hearts? Notice what happens when we're not thankful. It says here, our hearts are hardened. There's a price to be paid for unthankfulness. And we must understand that a thankful heart and a hard heart cannot occupy the same person's heart at the same time. Amen. It just cannot be. You can't be both things at once. Amen. Paul says, though the outward man dies, the inward man is renewed, refreshed, day by day, every day. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Thankfulness softens our hearts, so the Lord can mold us into his own image. I don't know much about pottery, but I've seen people that have that skill on the potter's wheel, and they're forming, it's spinning around, and they're shaping it into what they want it to be. But what you notice, it's soft. They're able to mold it. But once it's set, it's done, isn't it? You can't do anything with it further. God wants our hearts to be like that. He wants us to give our hearts to him and let him mold our hearts into the shape that he wants our hearts to be. Number three, giving thanks reminds us of God's goodness. You think, well, I know God is good. We say it all the time. Really? We say it, I know, but do we live it? Psalm 7:17 reads like this. It says, I will give thanks to the Lord. I will sing his praises because he is good. He is righteous. Church, why does the scripture tell us God is good? Think about that. What makes God good? You know? And that's a pretty deep question, isn't it? When you begin to think, what makes God good? Well, I don't know that I understand it entirely. It's that deep. God just is good. That's what he is. But I do understand some things from my human perspective. What makes him good? Even though it's complex, I understand he's good because he loves us unconditionally. We like to say that there's some folks that we love unconditionally, and we try to love unconditionally, but I think we fall short of that for the most part. But God, while we were yet alien, godless, rebellious, unloving sinners, he sent his son Christ to die for us. God loves us regardless. Now listen to this. God loves us regardless of who we may be or what we have done. You mean God loves, and you fill in the blank. Look around the world. You mean he loves him? Yeah, he does. Don't you? Ah. So, well, he's a reprobate. He's evil. God loves him. Don't you? Before we knew God, he loved us. And he still does. He loves us in spite of our ugliness towards him and our ugliness towards one another. In spite of our sins, God loves us. No, I'm not saying that our salvation is unconditional. Don't put the two together here. I'm saying that God's love is unconditional. God's love without conditions. accept his love and be thankful for it. God is good, and our being thankful allows us to see more clearly his goodness. God is good because he forgives our sins. He forgives us. Therefore, there is now no more condemnation to those who are in Christ, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. That's Romans 8 and 1 and Colossians 1:14 put together there. Church, this alone, for me, and probably you too, I'm thinking, is enough reason to have gratitude in our hearts and give praise to God because he loves us and he forgives us. Without God's forgiveness, where will we be? God is good. God is very good. God is good because he gives salvation. And he's the only one that can. Don't let anybody tell you any different. God gives salvation to the obedient. Let's read Ephesians 2, 4 through 9. And there'll also be Galatians 3, 26 and 27 in this. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you've been saved. Through faith, this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have been clothed, or have clothed yourselves in Christ. Some versions say have put on Christ. We're in Christ. The goodness of God, I think, can best be seen in the fact that he has made salvation possible for mankind. What a good God we have. We did nothing. We deserve to be condemned. But if we respond to him in faith, and a little bit aside from the lesson here this morning, we talked in class a little bit about faith and being saved by faith. And I understand the reaction of one who would say, well, not by faith alone. And when we understand what faith is a verb, isn't it? Faith is something that we do. So I know we have it, but it's something we do. What we're talking about, the person who was saying this, is saying that just mental assent and your belief in God is not enough. Amen. And I would agree with that. Amen. But true saving faith moves us to obedience. Obedience is included in that faith. Amen. So to me, it's a bit redundant when we understand faith to say faith and obedience, though I say it all the time, because the world misunderstands. Faith includes obedience, so when we speak of saving faith, it's included in that. Amen. That's what faith really is. Thanksgiving keeps us focused upon God. It's easy in our culture to lose focus, isn't it? You know, we have so much. There's so many things to take our attention away from where it should be. Amen. I know it happens to me all the time. You know, I get on the internet to study. Maybe you do that sometimes too. It can be a great source for finding things and getting ideas. But you know how one link leads to another? And the next thing you know, you're off into something that had nothing to do with what you started out to do and really has nothing to do with studying the Bible. And I think, wow, you know, see, Satan's sly like that, isn't he? You know, it's you might not be doing something that in and of itself is sinful, but it drew you away from where you intended to be. We need to be careful with that, don't we? Church, we say this all the time, and I would that we believe it. We say, well, it's not about me. We say it's not about you. It's about God. But how do we live? How do we live? Acts 17:28. It is in Him we live, move, and have our being. And in Ephesians 1:17, we're not our own. We've been purchased with a price. It is in Him that we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of His grace. Are we focused upon God, really? Are we focused upon God and how He wants us to live and to think? Or are we focused upon ourselves and how we want to live, what we want to do? You know, becoming a thanksgiving people, having the thinks in our mind, conscious of it, it keeps us focused, doesn't it? It keeps us focused, and it keeps God in our lives where He belongs. All right, I'm about finished, but you know, a lesson is pretty much useless without application. Understand what I mean? It's kind of like knowing something, and it's in here, but nothing ever happens, nothing ever changes. And so we need a plan of thanksgiving. Because I'm convinced in my own life as I study this, thanksgiving is not a big enough part of my life. And maybe you're coming to understand that. So we say, okay, thanksgiving is not a big enough part of my life, and then we go on out there and we do what we've been doing, right? Nothing changes unless we have a plan. We need a plan. See, giving thanks unlocks that which keeps us from becoming the people God wants us to be. It unlocks that which keeps us from celebrating life to its fullest extent. And you know what? It keeps us from happiness. It keeps us from being the happy people that God would have us to be. So I would like to introduce to you three little, what I call action steps. If you want to write these down, because I think, we put a lot of stuff on our refrigerator doors, a lot of notes, and you could stick these on there so you see them all the time, and maybe it can help us be thankful people. You know, first, make Thanksgiving a daily celebration. Now, I'm not against our Thanksgiving day that we have, and we get together, and anytime you give thanks, it's a good thing, and if you can be with family and give thanks together, even better. I'm not against that. But what I am against is not being thankful except when that day rolls around, right? That's so what we need to do is make it a daily celebration. Make thankfulness a living thing in our attitude. Make it something real. Make it a behavior, something that we do, not just a day that happens yearly. You know, our circumstances may never change. I hope if you're in a bad way that it does, but it might not. But our attitudes, if our attitudes are wrong, they can be changed. That is within our control. God gives us that latitude. We can decide to think differently. How can we do it? Well, wake up each morning and say, God, I'm thankful for, you fill in the blank. And not when I say fill in the blank, don't just say, I'm thankful for this one thing. You can do that. And that's not bad. But make a list. Make yourself a list of the things that you are thankful for. And then look at that list. And then secondly, when you look at that list, you're taking inventory, aren't you, of your life. And that allows you, we sing the song, Count Your Many Blessings. Well, there they are. And you're going to find now, when you begin to make this list, it could grow quite long, especially day by day, as you begin to realize there's more things than you thought that you are thankful for. Thank God for these things. James 5:13 says, is any one of you happy? Let him what? Be thankful. If you know where to begin counting blessings, that's good. But if you don't know, well, let me help you just a little bit. Let's just make it as simple as we can. Number one, you're alive, aren't you?
Amen.
Be thankful to God. You know why? Because as long as we're alive, we can be better. We can be closer to God. We can do the things that we previously have not done in service of God. We can please Him. And if we're not right with God, we have a chance to be. Number two, be thankful that if you weren't alive, somebody would notice. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? Because I know somebody would notice. Maybe not as many people as I think. But I know I have family and I have brothers and sisters that would notice if I wasn't around. Isn't that something to be thankful for?
Yeah.
That means you're loved, that people love you. So here it is. Make your list of blessings. Write them on a piece of paper. Verbalize them to God in your prayers and thank Him. But you know what? We can go a step further there with this. We can tell other people. Tell other people how thankful to God you are for whatever it is. That's, you know what that is? It's what I call Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving therapy. It's a therapy session. And it's how we learn. Remember Paul said learn, that's how you learn contentment. You got to practice it. Now thirdly, make God the object and the source of your thankfulness. Hebrews 12:28 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and worship God with reverence and awe. Be thankful that we're receiving something that we could never attain on our own. It's promised to us. See, that doesn't have to do with my circumstances at all. This can't be shaken. If I have faith in God, if I believe in His promises, I'm assured of this eternal home that He promises me. And I can be thankful for that no matter what happens in this world. You see, the world can take away your bank account. It can take your money. You heard of the IRS? Let me tell you what, they can take your money. Don't get too wrapped up in that. The world can take your job too. They can take your ability to earn any money. And you know what else? They can even take your physical life. And sometimes they do. But you know what the world can't take away from you? Your relationship with God. Nobody can take that from you. They don't have the power. Not even Satan has the power to take that from you. The only way you can lose your relationship to God is give it up. Give it away. Throw it away. That's scary, isn't it? Listen to this and think about it. God is the object of our thanksgiving. And if He is, then we will always be giving thanks. Every day will be Thanksgiving Day. We all want to be thankful, don't we? Don't we want to be thankful? Then we must know that being thankful encompasses more than just saying it. We've got to live it every day. Now, all of us here this morning, every single one of us, have an opportunity before us, an opportunity to express our thankfulness to God by our obedience to Him. You say, that's how you do it? Yeah. That shows God that you're thankful to Him is more than just what you say when what you do is involved in it. Now, some of us here this morning need to become His child by faith. We need to become His child by becoming a changed person through repentance and experiencing the forgiveness of sin through New Testament baptism. And for those of us who are already here that have already put on Christ, we're already Christians. You know, we've already been baptized into the body. We can demonstrate our thankfulness to God too by becoming in every respect the people that God wants us to be. Then God will know we're thankful. Amen. Be thankful this day. Amen. Be thankful as we stand and sing together.